What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Wednesday, April 24th. What a great time of the year it is. It's not March. I love the month of March sports-wise. But now here in South Florida, we kind of get used to not only March, we get April, we get May. Last year, we got a lot of action in June. For many, many, many years, all we had in June was baseball action. Not that I mind that. I love baseball. I'm a huge baseball fan. Except for maybe tonight not rooting for the Marlins to score many runs. Hint, hint. But that has not been a problem the past couple of nights. I did not go to Medellin yesterday. I was telling you on the show I would have had to go to the airport pretty quickly right after the program. And I just had a lot going on. So I didn't go yesterday. I'm still here in South Florida, and I gave up the opportunity last night to go to the Panthers game. Marlins man had hit me up on Monday. He's like, hey, I got an extra seat, first row on the glass, if you want to go to the game. I was like, I'm not sure if I'm going to be here or not, so go ahead, just keep it. And I did wind up being here. I watched the game at my house, and what a game it was. My gosh. And I'll talk plenty about the Florida Panthers. Unfortunately, there's some bad news to report on the Panthers front, and I reported it around like 11 o'clock this morning. If you follow me on Twitter, I'm still going to call it Twitter. I don't care. Unless Elon starts paying me, I'm still calling it Twitter. Sam Bennett, as you probably saw, got hit by a slap shot yesterday, a very, very hard slap shot. And it looked like he got hit on the hand slash wrist right in that area. I was told by multiple sources this morning that Sam Bennett will be out for a lengthy period of time. So I've gotten a lot of replies to that tweet. Not that I care about the replies in this sense, but the reason I bring it up is I'm reading the replies that are coming in. And everything I'm reading, people are making this sound like the Panthers are finished. Sam Bennett was playing great yesterday. Sam Bennett looked really good. And Sam Bennett is a big part of this team. But we're not talking about Matthew Tkachuk. We're not talking about Barkov. We're not talking about Verhaeghe. We're not talking about Sam Reinhart. Not that you want to lose anyone. But to think, the fact that some people are believing now, Panthers fans, oh my gosh, we are done because Sam Bennett is going to be out for a while. Like, come on. The Panthers just beat the Lightning last night. They're up 2-0 in this series. Lundell will go right in his spot, and he looked pretty good last night. The Panthers are going to be okay. I wouldn't say that's the end of the Florida Panthers because Sam Bennett is going to be out. That's my opinion. I think it's a pretty good opinion. Not saying it's no big deal, because you need a center there, a good center, when you got Verhaeghe and Tkachuk on the wings. But I think the Panthers are going to be okay. So I'll get into that a little bit more, not just the part with Sam Bennett, but the game from last night, because that was a thriller. Tonight we have the Miami Heat taking on the Boston Celtics. Not quite as exciting, is it? But hey, maybe tonight the Heat can make it a series? Maybe? I'll talk about that, because of course. And we are just one day away. I have audio for one more day, and it's like very dramatic, but I can't use it. Not because it's like copyrighted or something. I just can't use it because this is not so dramatic that we're one day away from the NFL draft. Normally, it would be very dramatic. But the Dolphins have the number 21 pick in the first round. The hope is they'll get better. Who are they going to take in the first round? I have no idea. But you just hope whoever they do take will make that team better. It's probably because the Dolphins have the 21st pick and not a top 10 pick that we're not so excited about it, or I am not so excited about it. Some of you that are just totally into the draft and you go through all the mocks and you do your own, like, cool, that's fine, no problem. You're excited. I'm not excited. I think you can tell I'm not excited. I'm more excited about the Florida Panthers being up 2-0. I'm even more excited about the Heat still being alive. After tonight, it could be pretty grim, but they're still alive. And we got other things going on, except the Marlins scoring runs. I guess you could say I'm a little spoiled. Maybe all of us are spoiled from 2023. Because that dual run we had last year was one of the craziest things I've ever seen. Other cities have seen it. We haven't seen it. I've been doing this show, this month is actually 16 years. Maybe any day now is actually 16 years. I always get these notifications in April, like, congratulations on your work anniversary. I haven't got that notification yet, so maybe it's any day, but I know it was April. I started this show in April 2008. Here it is, April 2024. And in those 16 years, I had never been on the air, and there was that kind of run here in South Florida that I was talking about. So I'm spoiled. I think a lot of us are spoiled. Those playoff runs were so much fun. So let's just enjoy this while we can. We still have the Heat, even though it's looking pretty bleak. We've got the Florida Panthers. Yes, we have the bad injury news with Sam Bennett. But the Florida Panthers are going to be okay. They're going to be fine. I don't want to lessen anything by just... I don't want it taken the wrong way when I say it's just Sam Bennett, because that's sort of like wrong to say. It will be taken the wrong way. Sam Bennett is a valuable player. He was playing really well, particularly last night. Sam Bennett is a big loss for this team. But again, at least it's not Tkachuk, Barkov, Verhaeghe, Reinhardt. We know the Panthers were really banged up last postseason. Everybody was playing hurt in the end, big time. Matthew Tkachuk was missing games. I believe Sam Bennett missed the beginning of the playoffs as well, or he was missing the end of the regular season last year. That's just bad luck last night with that slap shot. And the Panthers have to move on. It's next man up. They'll fill that spot almost certainly with Anton Lundell. And they're going to be okay. The top line is still there. The power play number one unit is still there. And right now, most importantly, Bob is still there. I have a lot to get to this hour, but I can't get to any of it until the hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
Holy Bob. I know there's a Heat game tonight, but that save last night by Sergei Bobrovsky, I've been watching hockey for, I'd have to say, 34 years, something like that. 33, 34 years. I was watching hockey before the Panthers came into existence. And throughout all of these years of my hockey watching, I don't think I have seen a better save and a more important save. Like, when you combine them, an incredible save and the importance of that save, I don't think I've seen that combo ever in 30-plus years of hockey watching. That was not just the save of the year. That was one of the all-time Panthers plays. It happens in a tie playoff game. Eventually, this game goes to overtime. If Bob doesn't somehow stop that puck, the Panthers probably lose 3-2. And then Tampa gets home ice, three games in a possible five. This Panthers team would be flying to Tampa with problems and minus Sam Bennett. When Tampa had that open net, I mean, completely wide open, Bob is turned around. I, just like all of you that were watching that game live, thought, oh, there's a goal. Like, dang it, there's a goal. Sometimes you could see the goal is coming. Like, that's it. You know it's a goal before the puck goes in the net. And that's exactly what I thought last night. And then it's like, wait a minute. How did that puck not go in the net? It absolutely was incredible what Bob did right there. Was it luck? Yeah, you could make an argument it was a lucky play. But I would say it wasn't just luck. It was a combination. It was luck and skill. If you asked Bob to make that play 100 times, he wouldn't only get it once. He knew the puck was on the other side of his body. And he had to sell out to stop it. And he did. And what a momentum swing. I thought back to last year. And I was thinking this way after the game, going into this morning. We were all talking about playoff Bob. And how Bob went from a guy who was overpaid, a terrible contract, fighting with Spencer Knight for the starting job. He went from that to the greatest goalie on planet Earth. When you draw up the design for a Stanley Cup final run, the term hot goalie, it's got to be part of it. If you have a goalie who is not playing well, you're not going to make a run. It's pretty simple. That one save, that special save that Bob made, it had the whole building chanting, Bobby, Bobby, that one save. Now, will that one save unlock everything for him? Does that one save bring on playoff Bob? Was that it? Was that the moment? Because let's pretend, for the sake of discussion, let's say Bob gets really hot now and the Panthers make a Stanley Cup final run again. They get to the end. Let's say that happens. Are we not all going to circle that one moment and say that was the moment? That was the save that started it all. Because before that save, he was having a rough period. He had already given up two goals. Kind of misplayed the play to start, but the recovery and that save, that was an all-timer. Such a critical moment for Sergei Bobrovsky and such a critical moment for this Florida Panthers team. And now we'll see what it does, because that had to be crushing for the Tampa Bay Lightning. You have an open net like that. How does it not go in? It's not like he missed the net. Tampa's got to be thinking, how do we beat this guy? If he's going to be making plays like that, that is a play where you just say, you know what? You call him your daddy. That's it. Like, yeah, he's my daddy. And you move on about your merry way. What else are you going to do? That play is why the playoffs in general are so much fun. Hockey playoffs, basketball playoffs, baseball playoffs, any playoff games, they create this tension, the pressure, where every game is so important. And within that pressure, sometimes out of nowhere, we get these elevated performances that are almost superhuman. That doesn't happen on a random Tuesday night in December. The stakes in the game have to be high enough. The dude lays it all out like that and makes an incredible play. It was truly remarkable. And the funny part, I've talked so much about the save because it's definitely worthy, but this game was decided in overtime, the game-winning goal by the Florida Panthers, Carter Verhaeghe. That is now 11 straight overtime wins by this Panthers team in the playoffs. They've won every single one of them. Trocheck was tripped, and then the Panthers have won every single overtime playoff game. Carter Verhaeghe is just Mr. Clutch. When the game goes to OT, just look out for number 23. He always seems to be in the right spot. I think the Florida Panthers win this series. Of course, they're up 2-0. It's easier to say now than before the game yesterday. But even going into the game yesterday, I thought the Panthers would win this series. I'm not saying it's going to be a sweep, but I am very confident that the Florida Panthers will win this series. Tampa now has to beat them 4 out of 5 times. I was saying yesterday, just like the Heat, if the Heat lose tonight, to win the series, the Heat would have to beat the Celtics 4 out of 5. Like, come on, it's not happening. That's why tonight's Heat game is so important. The Lightning now have to beat the Florida Panthers 4 out of 5 tries. If they get to 5 tries, hopefully they don't. And they'd have to win at least one game in Sunrise. Think back a second to two things to make this really awesome. For years, the Tampa Bay Lightning were Florida Panthers' tormentors. The Panthers could not get by the Lightning, and they could not get by Vasilevsky. That's done and over with. Even though the Panthers haven't got by Tampa yet in the series, I think that's done and over with. And then think about this. The Panthers went pretty much a lifetime between playoff series wins. How many times did I come on this show and say, please just win a playoff series? That's all I ask. Let's end the streak. That streak went on since the year of the rat. Now, in 2024, after last year's Stanley Cup final run, not only is this not shocking that the Florida Panthers look like they will win their first round series against Tampa, it's pretty much expected. Like, no big deal. Big deal you beat Tampa, yes, to get over that hump of not beating them in a playoff series, but winning a first round series, should the Florida Panthers go on to beat the Lightning? Okay, it's a first round series. They won a first round series 2 years ago. They won a first round series last year, and it looks like they will win a first round series yet again. They'll go from about 25 consecutive years, or even longer than that, I think, of not winning a first round playoff series to now, if they do beat Tampa, winning a first round playoff series 3 consecutive seasons. I don't know if they'll get to 25 or 26 consecutive seasons like they had when they didn't win, but this time winning. But 3, that would be a really good start. It's a good feeling. Florida Panthers fans have to feel good. You don't feel good about the Sam Bennett news. But overall, you got to be happy when you're up 2-0 on the Tampa Bay Lightning. It feels like the curse has been completely buried with everything that has to do with this Florida Panthers team. Panthers fans should have a good feeling right now. Yeah, you're a little sad because of Sam Bennett, but you still got to have a good feeling. Or at least you will by tomorrow night's game. Hopefully they take down Tampa and just take a 3-0 series lead and really bury the Lightning. See, I like burying people when they're at my poker table. I just finished 38th in the World Poker Tour Championship event at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. Almost 2,000 players. 38th place, not bad. I did everything I could. My tournament, the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament, is coming up in about 3 weeks, so I'll give you more info on that when it's about to happen, May 14th at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. But if you want to get in a tournament right now, you don't have to wait until mine. You can get in one tonight, this weekend. There are tournaments happening all of the time in the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. So visit their site. It's SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com. That's SeminoleHardRockPokerOpen.com. You'll see an entire list of daily tournaments, big series that they have coming up as well, bonus high hands, all the cash games available. If you're going to play cards and you want action, the best place to do it is in the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. The Panthers have a 2-0 series lead. The Boston Celtics, I hope after tonight I'm not saying have a 2-0 series lead. Can the Miami Heat win tonight? I know they're a huge underdog. But really, could they win tonight? You know, on this show, I'm always all about honesty. Would it be just a dream to say, hey, the Miami Heat, they can win tonight? Like, they can do it? Would that just be talking, like, just talking dumb? Just saying things to say it? Being a homer type of fan? I think the Miami Heat could win tonight. Here's how they would win. This is what it would take. I don't think the Heat will win, but I do think it's not out of the question. What needs to happen tonight, not just a miracle.
You believe in miracles?
This needs to be a Spo game. Not that Spo has to suit up and get on the court. But Spo loves, and I mean loves, when he's undermanned. Yeah, you do not want to be undermanned, of course. He would much rather have Jimmy and Scary Terry in the lineup. Or just one of them. But when Spo is undermanned, and the other team is in overwhelmingly better shape heading into a game, Spo's got to figure it out. He's got to take a bunch of random pieces and try to get a W. How many times have we seen that? In random games, and I know this is not a random game, but we've seen in random games where a bunch of the Heat's good players are out, Spo takes the bench, and he creates a masterpiece. He needs to do that this evening. The good part of this Boston-Miami series, yes, there is a good part. 99% of the world thinks this series is over.
Over? Did you say over?
Nobody gives the Miami Heat a chance. What does that mean for the men in that locker room? You've got no Jimmy Butler. Nobody thinks you're capable of even winning one game. So what does that mean? It means you got nothing to lose. Because even if the Heat get swept, hey, Boston was historically good this season. Jimmy Butler, we didn't have him. Okay, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Yeah, Boston's so good. The Heat were without their superstar. Yeah, of course, they're going to get swept. No one would think any differently of the Heat. It's not like they're fully loaded. They're healthy and get whooped by the Celtics. So there's really no pressure on Miami. Nobody is expecting anything from them. And that should sort of be freeing. It should be liberating. There's zero reason that the Miami Heat should go out there tonight and be tight. If anyone has pressure, it's on Boston. Because you've got to beat this Heat team, don't you? You got to put them away. They don't have Jimmy Butler. They're not a healthy squad. Terry Rozier's not even in the lineup. So there's no pressure here on the Heat. Boston is the one that has to get the job done. And they know what Spo is about. They know that Spo, with a few days or 2 days between games, they know he can run circles around their head coach, Joe Mazzulla. Let me be clear, because sometimes people will tune into this show and then you'll go on social media, oh my God, Slater said this. Let me be clear. The Boston Celtics are the better team by far. The Celtics have a better roster. The Celtics stars are healthy. The Celtics made some really good additions in Jrue Holiday and Porzingis. This Boston team is good enough to win it all. Still, though, they're facing the Heat. They're facing Eric Spoelstra. They're facing Bam. Yes, Jimmy is out, but Eric Spoelstra could take what he saw in game one, and he can make adjustments. He can make the Celtics feel uncomfortable. Now, if Boston's going to go out there and hit 20-plus three-pointers and have a 30-point lead in the fourth quarter, yeah, this thing's going to be over and done with. But if the Celtics let the Miami Heat hang around, if this is a five-point game with about 3 minutes left, that is where the biggest mismatch will show itself. And that mismatch is Spo being so much better than Joe Mazzulla. Joe has the better team. That's not even a debate. But if it comes down to late game execution or coaching, Miami's going to win at least a game in this series. And this would be the perfect game to steal. You get one in Boston. Now you have home court. You've just stunned the Celtics. They would be, I don't know in what kind of mood after being stunned at home with a series now tied at one. Right now, they're thrilled. They're up 1-0. They won over 60 games. They're believing the hype. But if the Heat can stop them dead in their tracks and grab a game tonight, what does that do to them? And then you've got the whole Caleb subplot about the foul on Tatum. That's all so dumb. But I think because there's a story there, I think it works to the Heat's advantage. Is Boston really thinking about this? Are they worried the Miami Heat are trying to take them out? Or are they going to try to retaliate? Because if they do, cool. I think that's exactly what the Heat want. You want an ugly game if you're Miami. You want the game to be slow. You want it to be low scoring in the mud. That's where you want this game. That's where you want every single game. That's where Spo wants every single game, in the mud. Because when there's a talent disparity, and there certainly is one in this series, Boston has a lot more good players than the Miami Heat do, and they are way better. You really only have one way to win. Slow the game down. Don't let them get to 120. They want to play fouling games? Cool. They want to deal with a full court press? Great. In the mud, ugly. 90s style basketball. That's what the Miami Heat want. Because if you ask Spo to describe what a Heat win would look like, to beat this Celtics team, you want to worry about hard fouls and goonery. That would be much better than playing beautiful basketball. You want to play beautiful basketball, but come on. There's no Jimmy. There's no Scary Terry. It's going to have to be in the mud. And all eyes are going to be on Tyler Hero tonight. Bam was good in game one. Jimmy, he's posting IG stories of playing cards while getting treatment on his knee. We know he's not playing. We know Scary Terry ain't playing. Duncan Robinson is a shell of himself. He's got a back issue. If Jimmy and Scary Terry were healthy, Duncan probably isn't even playing right now. All eyes are going to be on Tyler Hero. The Heat need him. There is no situation where the Miami Heat win and Tyler is bad again. It's just not going to happen. The scheme of him holding the ball a long time, that did not seem to work. So the Heat need to run actions that get Tyler off the ball, running around using his speed and stamina to get good looks. Catch and shoot. Don't bounce the ball around and wait for Derek White to force a jump ball or Jrue Holiday to get in the way. Tyler needs the ball in motion, and he needs to go right up with it. And I think the Heat need to play Kevin Love more, especially when Al Horford's out there, because Love is slow and so is Al. And Love makes the Heat play smarter. The outlet passes, getting into the post and kicking out, finding a cutting for Jaime Hawkins Jr. There's a ton of stuff that Kevin Love can do to help this team, but he can't do it from the bench. And lastly, I've named like nine things. Yes, all nine need to happen for the Heat to win this game. But I hope in the Heat dressing room, on top of the whiteboard, it says start better. The Heat cannot dig themselves a 14-0 hole. Spo even said the first possession, Boston misses, gets an offensive rebound, kick it out for three, they hit it. That cannot happen. Miami has to be the one to throw the first punch. Even if the game starts, let's say, 21-16 Boston, it's only a five-point game, you're not going to have the building shaking. The Celtics won't have every single guy at the peak of their confidence. That alone right there would be an improvement. There's a lot of things the Miami Heat need to do tonight to get a W, but I don't think it's completely out of the question where there's zero shot. And again, I think a lot of that has to do with the Heat's head coach, Eric Spoelstra. Now I want to tell you what Stewie's got to do with the bagel loan. What is a bagel loan? Well, he's going to loan you a bunch of everything bagels? No. Stewie from Stewart's American Mortgage Corporation has the bagel loan for you. When you look at a bagel, you see a zero in the middle, and that is exactly what you will pay Stewie. Nothing. Zero. No lender fees. No appraisal fees. If you're buying a home, if you need a mortgage, or you're refinancing, you want the bagel loan from Stewie. How can you get the bagel loan from Stewie? Well, you'll call him. How are you going to call him? I'm going to give you his personal cell phone number right now. Here it is. 561-379-4441. That's 561-379-4441. If you're buying a home, if you need a mortgage, or you're refinancing, you want the bagel loan where you pay Stewie nothing, no lender fees, and no appraisal fees. MLS number 226715. I've talked about the Panthers. I've talked about the Miami Heat. The NFL draft is coming up tomorrow night. So I'm sure on tomorrow's show, I'll get into the Heat result, maybe a surprising result, and the NFL draft, but the Dolphins have the number 21 pick, so we're not going to get some sort of sexy pick that's such a talker. There's one other thing that I have not brought up so far, and I need to bring it up because it's brutal. The Marlins offense. Two straight nights, two consecutive games the Marlins have got shut out. They've scored a total of...
Zilch.
Nothing.
Nada.
Small potatoes.
No potatoes.
Diddly squat.
A big old goose egg.
In the run department. A big old zero. The Marlins have not scored a single run in Atlanta so far. If you take a look right now at the NL East standings, the Marlins are 11 and a half games out of first place. 11 and a half. It is April 24th, and the Marlins are 11 and a half games out of first. We're a week away from May. They were somewhat okay in Wrigley. They split the series against the Cubs, but this right now is bad, and the offensive numbers in particular, they are horrendous. The Marlins are very lucky that the Heat and Panthers have games right now. Because if I was on here doing a full baseball show, I'd be crushing them. Certainly more than they're crushing the Braves with their offense. Every single opposing pitcher is crushing the Miami Marlins. I would be like one of them. So they got to be thankful for the Panthers' run, which looks like it's beginning, and the Miami Heat's run, which will probably end pretty soon. But as long as we got the Florida Panthers involved, we're going to be good to go here in South Florida. And speaking of run, they're running races at Gulfstream Park. It is the Royal Palm Meet going on right now at Gulfstream Park. Live racing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You got 4 days to choose from to get on out to Hollandale Beach and enjoy live racing action at Gulfstream Park. When I go to Gulfstream Park, and I love going there, I go to their trackside restaurant, Ten Palms, get myself a table, have a fantastic meal, watch the races live right in front of me, and of course wager on them. You don't even have to wager a whole lot. You could bet 10 or 20 cents and possibly make thousands of dollars. I see it happen all of the time. Live race days are the best days to go to Gulfstream Park. You can go any day, but I love going on live race days. 4 days a week right now, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. You can head on out there. It is the Royal Palm Meet going on right now at Gulfstream Park. Here on this Wednesday, just like every Wednesday, Lieutenant Camacho from the Florida Highway Patrol is with us on the Andy Slater Show. Lieutenant, I don't know if you had any parade plans for downtown Miami, I-95, that area, but have you done anything with those?
Not yet. We're down one game. We're just kind of, we have them on standby. You know, they're easily accessible, but we're being optimistic as usual.
What about parade plans for the Sawgrass Expressway? Because you guys do control the Sawgrass Expressway, right? And that's
yes,
in Sunrise.
Yes. But being that that's in Broward County, that would fall into another troop, and I'm pretty sure they might have something, some kind of operational plan in place as well.
Well, the Panthers are taking on the Tampa Bay Lightning. The series is moving to Tampa now, and I want to talk about the Tampa area for a moment because I've seen some crazy stories come out of there. There was a video I saw earlier today where you guys did a pit maneuver, and we see those during chases. There was a woman driving a car. You guys did a pit. I guess she got out of the pit and kept going. What exactly happened?
So this was, in the St. Petersburg area. You know, the call came in of a vehicle driving northbound in the southbound lanes of the I-275 in that area. And right around 1 in the morning, troopers located that vehicle, attempted to stop her. Obviously, she failed to stop. She was refusing to stop for whatever reason. Trooper was able to conduct a pit maneuver, which actually made her lose control. But initially, the driver did gain control again. And then the pursuit kind of continued a little bit further, where the trooper then just kind of had this intentional contact, making the vehicle come to a stop, and was able to apprehend her without further incident. She was actually gave a breath test, a breath alcohol sample of a reading of about 0.22, I think it was. So just almost three times over the legal limit. Obviously super scary, right? Somebody driving impaired, driving the complete counterflow on a major highway, and troopers actually having to pursue her, putting themselves in danger, going the wrong way as well. Just overall pretty scary situation. Luckily it ended without any further incidents, but good job by these guys in the Tampa area.
I have a question for you. I mean, I got several questions. That's why you're here on the airwaves with me, Lieutenant. When there's a pit maneuver, and mm-hmm. I've watched chases in Los Angeles. They do them, and we've seen them here in South Florida. Let's just say the pit maneuver is not perfect. Do mm-hmm. troopers, do they get retrained for the pit maneuver?
They can, yeah. We have to do our vehicle operations every certain amount of time. And if there is a training concern, Andy, not every pit, you know, they always say police work isn't pretty, right? And not every pit maneuver, even though it is a very precise technique, right, it's not always going to be perfect, because you have to also account for the driver actions on the other end, right? That person that's fleeing from you might slam on their brakes, might try to avoid you making contact with them. So it's not ever going to be perfect. We have had some pretty, I mean, we do a pretty good job. We have a pretty good batting average of doing some really nice pits, but
yeah, better batting average than the Marlins, that's for sure.
So but every once in a while there's one that isn't so pretty, but I think if it gets the job done and doesn't get anybody injured, there's going to be those that aren't so pretty sometimes. And if we when I say we, I mean like administration, you know, the staff, if we see these when we're reviewing these videos and we're reviewing incidents internally, and we see that there might be a concern, then we do look at further training, of course.
Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol with us here on the Andy Slater Show. There's a few more things I wanted to bring up, but I've only got about 3 minutes left with you. So I want to go to this story. This, I also believe, comes from the Tampa area. This is bizarre.
Yeah.
So you have a trooper who pulls over a motorcyclist for speeding, and then a gang member calls FHP and says, I'm going to shoot the trooper if he's speeding again, because he thought he was speeding to catch up to the motorcyclist. Did I get that right?
Yeah, well, he was. The trooper, I guess, went by this individual, again, in the Tampa area. The trooper was attempting to overtake a speeder on the Franklin Bridge or something in Pinellas County. And so there's a gang member that I guess the trooper passed by, and I guess he didn't love that, and he actually called the Highway Patrol Dispatch Center and says that there was a trooper speeding by him and that he was going to shoot the trooper because he was, you know, if he saw him again because of the way he was driving, I guess. And of course, the dispatchers told them, you know, what, you're committing a criminal offense by threatening to shoot a trooper. And so anyway, the vehicle he was in had a GPS tracker. It was a company vehicle. Troopers located him a little bit, you know, further down the road somewhere at a boat ramp, I think. And he was arrested. He was found with some, I think he had a handcuff key on him. He had some radio devices on him. Anyway, convicted felon, documented gang member, and we did arrest him.
The guy calls the Florida mm-hmm. Highway Patrol. He gives his name. He gives his phone number and says, I am going to shoot the trooper if I see him again because he was speeding. Mm-hmm. That's all correct? I just want to make sure I'm getting
correct.
This right.
That's correct. Yes. One of those Florida stories, right? Yes, that's correct. That's exactly how it went down. He called in. He said he's going to shoot the trooper if he saw him again because he was driving fast and the trooper was doing his job trying to stop a speeding motorcyclist. So that's just some of the stuff we got to deal with sometimes, Andy. People don't really know. They think we just, doing things for no reason out here. But this guy took it a little bit more personal.
Man, I thought calling like the Highway Patrol or 911 because your order at McDonald's was wrong or something. I've heard those stories was pretty bad. This is quite bizarre.
Yeah, big time.
Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol. Keep those parade plans, the drafts for the Sunrise area in pretty good control there in your desk. Make sure you know where they are because we might be using them.
You got it. Absolutely.
Take care, buddy.
Thanks, Andy. See you.
All right, Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol. How stupid can you be? It's just to call law enforcement and say, if I see that officer, in this case, that trooper, speed by me again, I am going to shoot him. Here's my name and here's my number. Okay. Well, that's all the time I've got for this Wednesday afternoon. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.